Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And what a day it was yesterday in New England. Tom Brady announcing yesterday morning he was not going to return to the Patriots, expected to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. And to help us talk more about that, we bring in Karen Garrigian of the Boston Herald, who I'm sure is very, very busy. So, Karen, we appreciate you taking the time to come on with us today.
Hey, sure, guys. How are you all doing?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, obviously a change in our lifestyle here with the coronavirus and everything. But the Brady news piled on top of that has people in New England a little bummed out today.
I would imagine so. What's the reaction been like in New England? Look, I think everybody, we knew this was a possibility, but I know just personally seeing it actually happen yesterday, I was still floored by it, even though I somewhat expected it.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good summation. And I think even though we were predicting this dire exit, many of us in the media, nationally and locally, I think there was a strong sense from the fandom that either Patriots owner Robert Kraft would jump in, you know, something, there would be some kind of intervention. And because it just seemed so inconceivable that Brady, you know, either they would let Brady walk or he would walk himself. So yeah, I think people are still, even though they were being told, it's still a kind of a majorly stunning development.
Karen, what do you think the tipping point was for Tom Brady in all this discussion in terms of when he knew he was going to leave the New England Patriots?
Well, I think the seeds have sort of been planted over his contract, either restructuring last year in particular. Like for the last 3 years, he's been trying to get a legitimate extension that would allow him to finish his career in New England. And by that I mean his stated goal is to play till he's 45, and he was always met at the door by Bill Belichick saying, "Nah, you know, we're going to take you 1 year at a time. You know, you're 40, you're old. it's not good business on our part to do that." And I think a lot of it, you know, August on the last renegotiation after winning a Super Bowl, and there being no give or no flex with the Patriots, maybe they threw a multi-year deal out there. Again, my understanding, it was, you know, it wasn't something that he would even consider, you know, given the terms of it. So I think when he asked to have them take the franchise tag away in August, giving him more control over his future, I think the seeds were planted then.
Karen Garrigian of the Boston Herald joining us on the line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Karen, who is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots in week one?
Who is it going to be?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, because I don't think anybody knows at this point.
Well, now it's the million-dollar question.
That's right.
Right now, I think it's headed toward Jared Stidham. He was a rookie last year. One of his only appearances in his first throw in the NFL was a pick six. But I do think they like him. I do think they want to see how he develops. But would that preclude them from drafting a quarterback this year? No. But I think right now, perhaps it'll be Stidham, unless they, you know, swing a deal for a veteran, whether it's Andy Dalton. I know Cam Newton's available, but I don't know. I can't see Cam Newton here, given all his injuries and issues.
Karen, we've seen over the course of the Bill Belichick era in New England, you know, the Patriots' ability to, you know, let players walk, talented players, effective players who are looking for their next contracts leave and be able to replace them and not skip a beat. I think that conversation is certainly different when it comes to talking about arguably or definitely the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Do you think that everything, with everything around New England with Bill Belichick, that losing Tom Brady will set this team back significantly, or do you still expect them to be a team that we're going to be hearing about in terms of their on-the-field success without him moving forward?
Well, if you mean by setback significantly, are they going to win the Super Bowl next year or contend for it? I would say probably not. No. But I think this is kind of where the great mystery is, and where I don't want to overstate the word, where the excitement level is now, is kind of to see how the Patriots, Bill Belichick, does without Tom Brady, and how Tom Brady does without Bill Belichick. So, because we've all had this, I think it's a kind of a silly thing, but everyone, when you're trying to put a handle on the success pie here, like who gets the most credit? So there's been the endless debate. Is it more Belichick or is it more Brady? Or, you know, I think it was the marriage made in heaven. I think it was the perfect partnership for the sustained success that they had. But, you know, I believe Belichick is a great, great coach. And the Patriots aren't going to, you know, all of a sudden fall off the face of the earth and be in the gutter in the NFL. But I also think Tom Brady, even at age 43, with the right cast around him, is still capable of winning a Super Bowl. But that's the mystery. That's what we're going to see. You know, does he immediately improve Tampa, where I believe he's headed? Or do they actually do worse? You know, we'll see. Same for the Patriots. Can Bill Belichick get the team playing well enough with a quarterback not as great as Tom Brady?
Karen, last thing for you here. We had you on a couple weeks ago, and as you remember, the hoopla surrounding Tom Brady potentially coming to the Titans was rampant around here. Ultimately, the Titans decided to go in a different direction and lock up Ryan Tannehill. If I would have told you when this offseason began that Tampa Bay was going to be the place where Tom Brady ended up, how surprised would you have been, and how surprised are you now that that's where it looks like Tom Brady's headed?
I think I'm more stunned by that.
Me too.
because, I mean, it doesn't count for now, and I've had all these people from Tampa kind of on my case, but they are for Tom to go from the winningest franchise over the past 20 years, and I think they're like third all time behind Dallas and the Packers, to the team that has the worst winning percentage of all time. I mean, in the NFL collectively, I mean, it would kind of leave you scratching your head a little bit. Tampa's not as bad as they were when they started. they've come up off the mat a little bit, but again, just I don't think people would have said, "Oh yeah, Tom Brady," and especially if they go back to those creamsicle uniforms.
Oh yeah,
I think that would be the most stunning thing of all. But when you look at Tampa from another couple of directions, namely the type of weapons the offense has, the receiving core, the tight ends, the running backs, and you know, having a coach like Bruce Arians, who is a little bit different than Bill Belichick, in terms of, I think he's a little more, somebody told me, yeah, he's out there having beers with the guys after the game. You'd never catch Bill Belichick doing that. I mean, Loserville, that's one thing. But, again, if you really dig deep into what they can give Brady, it makes, you know, it at least makes some sense.
Karen Garrigan from the Boston Herald has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Karen, we know it's a crazy time for y'all there in Boston, so thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, sure. Anytime, guys.
What a crazy story. Just yesterday, we're talking about leaving the New England Patriots, and Adam, you know, we were sitting here, and we saw the news come across that Adam Schefter was tweeting out, and we saw Brady's tweets on Twitter, his post on Instagram, talking about how his time in New England is coming to a close. And it was just one of those things where you started looking around the league. The Chargers popped up in the conversation. The Buccaneers were there. And outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot of known. So to sit here today, and it looks like, you know, barring some sort of epic collapse here in the final part of negotiations, Tom Brady's heading to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just a crazy thought, going from a franchise like the Patriots to a franchise like the Buccaneers, and how much turmoil there's been there. But I think maybe that's part of the allure, too, if you're Tom Brady, is going in and completely changing the trajectory of a franchise as well. I mean, that's part of it, too, I think.
I mean, he's done that once before.
He has.
And I thought Karen's point, we talked about that at the beginning of the show, how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the worst winning percentage of any franchise in the NFL since they entered the NFL. And Tom Brady has won 6 Super Bowls. The most interesting thing is that, you know who's hosting the Super Bowl this year?
Tampa.
Tampa. And I don't believe there's ever been a case where where a team whose home field is being used for the Super Bowl has participated in the Super Bowl.
Never happened.
So, you know, what better story for Tom Brady to craft than, no pun intended, craft. Than to lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers onto the...
Stop talking. That was bad.
Okay,
even for you.
Let's go
My
to break.
My goodness, that was bad. When we come back, what are the Patriots going to do at the quarterback position now that they have moved on from Tom Brady? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. You just heard Karen Garrigan of the Boston Herald, who joined us in the last segment, talking about Tom Brady. You know, he's said for years now, I want to play until I'm 45 at least. I want to make sure that I'm here playing football until I'm 45. I love the game. I love playing football. And Bill Belichick has always kind of been a guy that operates like, yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying there. But once you hit the other side of 40, especially as a quarterback, a year-by-year approach, that's how the Patriots wanted to handle this. And I think Brady eventually got to a point where it was like, man, I've won 6 Super Bowls. I've been to 9 Super Bowls with you guys here. Shouldn't you just let me do what I want to do at this point? Shouldn't you just let me be, you know, the face of this franchise in my career? Because I still believe. I think Tom Brady, if he had his druthers about him, I think he wanted to end his career with the New England Patriots. I think he wanted to stay in New England his entire career. How often do we see that now in the world of sports, where one athlete stays in a place for their entire career, especially a career that spans 20 years. I mean, we just don't see that happen.
Kobe Bryant.
I mean, yep. That's
the last one.
That's the last one. Yeah.
Jeter.
Yeah. I guess so. But how long did Jeter play? Was it 20 years?
Kobe was exactly 20 years.
Yeah.
And there's always been rumblings, you know, he was going to go to the Clippers or
One time he was planning on going to the Bulls. Like, right, like that summer they traded Shaq, he was looking for houses in Chicago. I came across that interview the other day on YouTube. Once you're self-quarantining, you can go down a dark rabbit hole on YouTube. You can find a lot of things.
A lot of cool stuff.
But yeah, it just doesn't happen anymore in the world of sports. So
I've come up with a lot more examples.
Have you?
Yes, particularly in the NBA.
Okay.
How about Dirk Nowitzki?
There you go.
How about Tim Duncan?
Apparently, it happens in the NBA all the time.
Yeah,
that's the only place it happens.
Reggie Miller stayed, but not 20. But he stayed a little bit longer than he should
Your
have.
Boy,
with the Pacers.
Udonis Haslem.
Yeah, but he hasn't really even played in like 5 years.
He's a Heat legend.
He is.
He's a Heat legend.
But like I don't think he's played in more than like 10 games combined in the last 5 years.
Doesn't matter. He's a legend.
John Stockton.
Yeah.
We could just keep
but
doing
But all of these are back in the day. Like, you know, like modern day sports, like the last 10, 15 years.
But, the more unique one is probably Tim Duncan because he stayed with Greg Popovich for majority of that time.
That's probably the closest equivalent to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is Greg Popovich.
And Tim Duncan almost went to the Hornets at one point.
Yeah, he did.
So that almost.
Remember when Tony Parker played for the Hornets? That was weird.
That was awesome. Hornets legend.
Kobe. Like Kobe had different coaches in there.
Yeah, I mean, various coaches.
You know, Phil Jackson. Obviously, that was the main. That was really the only one he had success under in terms of winning championships. But there were a lot of different coaches tossed in there. So I say all that to say, this kind of relationship between Brady and the Patriots and Bill Belichick, it just doesn't happen anymore in professional sports. And Stephen A. Smith was talking about maybe the relationship between Brady and Belichick. Belichick not maybe showing Brady the respect that Tom Brady thought he deserved played a big part in his decision to leave the Patriots.
If the New England Patriots, specifically Bill Belichick, if I believe, this is my personal belief, nothing else, if he were treated better by Bill Belichick and not treated as just somebody that, you know what, you're just another player, as opposed to a six-time champion, the quarterback who has led this franchise to 9 Super Bowl appearances over the last 19, 20 years. If he was treated as such and acknowledged in that fashion, I don't believe that Tom Brady would be departing from the New England Patriots for next season. I don't believe he would have said goodbye today. I think he said goodbye because as much as he loves Mr. Kraft, at the end of the day, you're dealing with somebody in Bill Belichick who, by all accounts, is a phenomenal coach. Nobody's questioning that. But his interpersonal skills, his unwillingness to sit up there and cultivate a relationship with somebody where you're elevating one above others, I think his inability to do that, to use the phraseology, kiss the ring, per se, and obviously he doesn't have to because he's a coach and that guy was a quarterback, but his unwillingness to do that made it an untenable situation for Tom Brady.
And I agree to that to some extent of what Stephen A. Smith had to say there. Karen Garrigan shared some similar thoughts in the last segment with us here on Morning Drive. But, I mean, that's just what Bill Belichick does. That's what he's always done during his time with the Patriots. And, look, I get it. You could probably make a pretty convincing argument that it's Tom Brady. You should handle that situation differently. If you're a Bill Belichick, it's not like it's some everyday player that you come across. It's Tom Brady. And I understand that. But this has always been how Bill Belichick has operated. And I think if you're Brady, you at least had to somewhat expect that that was going to be the case for you as well.
I think if you put together on Madden, which you have plenty of time to play now because what else are we doing? If you put a roster together on Madden of all of the players that the Patriots let go after having career years or in the primes of their career looking for their next contract.
Be a pretty good team.
You could make a pretty good team, and now you could add Tom Brady to that. Also, by the way, my favorite thing yesterday about watching, I've been watching a lot more First Take, which I don't sit down and watch regularly, but I need my sports fix, so I have been watching a lot more First Take. My favorite thing yesterday was Stephen A. Smith apparently like getting a phone call during the show from Robert Kraft. It's like, I just spoke to Robert Kraft. He told me. You know, like, Robert Kraft apparently just watching First Take as well. You know, wanting to make sure that the news is out there.
Yeah.
But this is what Bill Belichick does. This is what the Patriots do. They cycle through talent. And you know, you didn't think the golden boy and Tom Brady would be part of that, but he has been. No one is safe under the eye of Bill Belichick, but then it goes back to what we were talking about with Karen. I mean, who's going to be the starting quarterback in week one? Is it going to be Jared Stidham? Is it going to be a veteran quarterback?
I mean, surely you bring in somebody else. Like, I get it, Jared Stidham.
Don't you think they wish they had Jimmy Garoppolo
I guarantee
now?
You they wish they had Jimmy Garoppolo right now. But surely you're not going to, like, ride it out with Jared Stidham. I mean,
I have an idea.
Who's that?
Why don't they trade back for Jacoby Brissett?
It could happen.
If Philip Rivers is the starting quarterback in Indianapolis, why not trade for Jacoby Brissett?
It could
happen. Familiar with the organization.
Andy Dalton, you could trade for him as well.
God.
Don't discount the red rifle in front of me. No. He's put him with Bill Belichick. What's the difference between Andy Dalton and Tom Brady?
A lot. Six championships, my friend.
I tell you what I'm rooting for. I really need Jameis Winston to end up as the starting quarterback of the Patriots. Just swap them out. Put Brady in Tampa, put Winston with the Patriots, because you know the only thing that'll happen the whole year is SportsCenter, ESPN, all these different people, us, we'll sit here and compare the season that Winston is having in New England to the season that Brady is having in Tampa Bay. And I, for one, am here for it. Winston just got LASIK surgery. Send him up to New England.
That's what I was about to say. We're not talking about the 30-30 club, Jameis Winston. We're talking about 2020
Jameis Winston. His eyes have been open.
As in his eyesight after LASIK eye surgery.
You are just bringing it today.
Yes.
With your dad puns. Everybody loves it.
Speaking of dads, Joe Rexroad's coming up next.
He is. Wow. Even that's a great transition. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic will join us next. We'll get into the Brady news with him. Also get his thoughts on the Titans signing of Vic Beasley. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We bring in our good buddy, Sexy Rexy, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Joe, what's going on, brother?
Vingan, you keeping that area nice and tidy and, you know, sprayed and everything?
I'll wipe it down with some Clorox disinfectant wipes before I leave the studio.
I appreciate that.
How have the little Rex Roads been handling this self-isolation period?
It's had its ups and downs. I mean, you know, like I've liked, you know, spending more time with them. I think my wife and I have. I would say they are getting a little bit sick of each other. So, you know, it's so far it's been okay, but then you start thinking about how long this is going to last, and, you know, you're going to have to start getting a little bit more creative.
Yes, there's no question about that. So, Joe, obviously we were on the air yesterday. We broke down, you know, Tom Brady announcing he's not coming back to the New England Patriots. And now it seems like he's going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's just your initial reaction to Brady officially going to the Bucs?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be wild. And, of course, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be in Tampa this year. So, you know, and the team has never played in its own stadium for Super Bowl. I don't think that'll change this year, but it's something to talk about. I mean, it's going to be, you know, his pairing with Bruce Arians and obviously Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, Cameron Braid, O.J. Howard. I mean, he's got certainly better weapons to throw to. We talked yesterday, Robbie, about, you know, the end of career switch, and some of them have worked out. You've had the Peyton Manning to Denver deal as a prime example. You win a Super Bowl in that situation. This feels more like Jordan to the Wizards to me. Maybe I'll be wrong, and if Tom proves me wrong, that's great. But I think this is going to be, you know, a pretty good team and an okay ending. But in the end, he may regret leaving New England.
So there was a tweet from Ian Rapoport earlier today talking about one of the things that Brady included on his list, and, you know, from these teams that were interested, is he wanted to see whether or not they were open to bringing Antonio Brown along with him. Obviously, we've seen that Brady appears to be close with Antonio Brown. We had Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on bring up that possibility to us last week when it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you think Tampa Bay should give any consideration to this whatsoever? I believe we may have lost Rexroad.
Oh, sorry. That was my accidental. You got me?
Oh, there he is. He's back. Did you just mute us? Like, you weren't able to do, like, people weren't able to mute at the press conference yesterday, but you just muted us there? That's impressive, Rex.
Yes, we need to talk about Stillman at some point, being able to unmute his television yesterday during the Ryan Tannehill press conference. Feel free to put him on blast if you'd like.
I'm still so mad at him for that, by the way. And, yes, this is proof that I do know how to mute myself, sometimes inadvertently.
That was impressive.
But Yeah. No. Yes, that was me muting myself. Yeah, Antonio Brown. I don't know if Brady's close to them, but yeah, I mean, obviously, briefly, you know, they were going to be working together last year, and I mean, Antonio Brown's list of issues is pretty long right now, so you know, there's a lot for him to be in this league still. I mean, it's an intriguing thing to think about, but you know, I guess I would be rather surprised if it actually came about. And yes, yeah, Stillman. I mean, so I'm trying to understand. I watched his filmy video last night. Like
his disgusting lens. The lens on his phone, especially at a time when we're supposed to be clean. The guy can't even keep his phone clean. What's up with that? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like right now, we don't need like anything filmy or cloudy. It feels worse because of, you know, the situation the world's in. But then he just like left it there? He left it. Oh, man. Because that was really, it was very loud, very annoying, and really just kind of ruined the whole thing. So thanks a lot, Stillman.
Joe Rexford, my colleague at The Athletic, joining us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, based on what you were able to hear of the conference calls yesterday when Stillman wasn't screwing them up, whether it was Ryan Tannehill or Dennis Kelly, what was the most interesting thing you heard out of both conference calls that grabbed your attention?
Well, I mean, that's an easy one. I mean, you know, I mean, Ryan Tannehill said, said all the stuff that you'd expect. I did think that an interesting thing he said, and he was asked about it the second time, but, you know, he said, you know, really hope a long-term deal is made with Derrick Henry. And, you know, I think that's going to be the very popular sentiment in that locker room. I mean, you know, the tag makes sense from an ownership, from a club perspective. Man, players do not like the tag. Now, I know some players, you know, I mean, you get paid really well because of the tag, better than maybe you would have, but that's not the case with Derrick Henry. So you got a little glimpse of, like, how guys feel about that. But the most interesting thing, easily, was when Dennis Kelly was talking about his exit interview, you know, not knowing he was going to come back, but he's telling John Robinson, you know, thanks, I started like football again, and that when he was playing for Chip Kelly, he started looking at jobs.com to see, you know, what he would be interested in, you know, because he thought football was ending for him. He said he joked with his wife that he accidentally has an MBA now because of his time under Chip Kelly. So Chip Kelly got Pro Football Players Look at jobs.com. That's that to me definitely stood out yesterday.
It's an impressive thing to put on your resume if you're Chip Kelly there. Just a motivator, expert motivator.
Because there isn't much else at the NFL level for him to be proud of. Joe, earlier, switching to another league, before you came on, we were talking about what the NHL season could look like if there is, in fact, an NHL season at some point. We were talking about this idea that TSN reported yesterday of a training camp starting in early July leading to the end of the regular season and the Stanley Cup being awarded in September, which to me seems incredibly far-fetched. So I'm going to put you in the commissioner spot for a second. You're Gary Bettman for the purpose of this question. If the NHL season were to resume, how would you frame the season? Would you have a regular season at all? Would you go straight into the playoffs? And what would your playoff format be?
Yeah, well, I would. I think, first of all, I don't want to go into September. You know, it's like the Kentucky Derby is going to opening day of college football.
Good luck.
That to me, you know, I just don't get that. And I don't think I want to mess around with football. Football is going to start, you know, at the normal time. I don't want to mess with that. I'm fine going all the way through August, though, because although you are going to be, you know, you're going to have to compete to an extent with football. Preseason football is awful in the NFL, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And you know, more and more coaches are just like, I'm just not playing key players. It's just not worth a potential injury. There's a key injury every year. So I think August is still a ripe month to have stuff. I think the sports world will embrace, you know, NBA and NHL playoffs in August. So, I mean, it's more decided for you than anything, but I would have to have, again, you know, we talked to C-Mace yesterday about, you know, even you go to the Olympics and you got like sort of a mini training camp, you know, I mean, let alone something like this. So you'd have to have that. I don't think I'd go right to the playoffs. I'd have some kind of abbreviated race to the finish, and obviously it would be really abbreviated. And then again, how much, as far as the playoff format, how much time do you have, right? I think you're probably going to have to cut down either rounds, or you're going to have to cut down, you know, the first round of best of shorter amounts. You know, you have to do a best of three somewhere. I mean, I don't know. It's all how much you can compress and how much compressing you have to do. But my elements would be, don't mess with football, but go all the way to the end of August. Have some kind of regular season, and then you're going to have to do whatever you can get in for the playoffs, you get in. But to me, it would be worth doing any of that if possible. I mean, that versus just it's all just wiped away, I think is an easy choice if you are allowed to make that choice.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic on the line with us. And Joe, last thing for you here. Titans signed Vic Beasley yesterday, had 15.5 sacks in 2016. Two pretty struggling years after that with 5 sacks each in 17 and 18, and then 8 sacks last year. What did you make of the move by the Titans to address their pass rush in signing Vic Beasley?
I'm underwhelmed by it. You know,
me too.
I mean, it's one of those things where this is going to have to be a case of a player turning it on like he hasn't in a few years. Now, I think Vic Beasley has a ton of ability, and he's young. And also he has, as you mentioned, one monster season. So, you know, those things are all good. You know, you like youth, you like talent, and you like at least someone who has done it. But, you know, he got a couple sacks late last season to make it 8. He's been very average, or some would say in Atlanta worse than that, in the last 3 seasons. You know, it's a prove-it one-year deal. $9.5 million is that's a decent amount to spend on a prove-it guy. I mean, it's one of those things. This is going to be a good test of, you know, I think John Robinson, is obviously he's a big teacher. He's obviously a defensive guy. You know, defensive front 7 players. That's his specialty. So can he reach this guy and get him going, and is Vic Beasley going to be more motivated because it's like this prove year? But again, last year was a contract year too, you know. So it surprised me. I don't think that much of it, but hey, I mean, if they can get him going and give Landry some help, then you know that's exactly what they need. They need somebody out there to help them. This will be an interesting project for Vrabel. And kind of telling of what, you know, of what Vrabel's able to do with guys who maybe aren't producing elsewhere.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive, proving that he really can't go a day without talking to me. Joe, thanks for coming on with the show with us this morning. We appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. All right. Have fun. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Joe.
When we come back, we'll continue to react to Brady going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, what do we make of the Vic Beasley signing? Is it going to be that much of a difference maker for the Titans? That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Had Joe Rexroad on in the last segment, also from The Athletic. Talking about Vic Beasley and the signing that the Titans made yesterday, addressing the pass rushing need that they have, that we all know that they had this past season. And I agree with Joe, Adam. I mean, just in terms of what we've expected to take place this offseason, potentially addressing the pass rushing need, maybe it happens in the draft as well. And look, just because they signed Vic Beasley yesterday doesn't mean they're done. Maybe they do add somebody else in free agency. Maybe they do add a pass rushing piece in the draft as well. I still think that's very likely. But I was very underwhelmed by the Vic Beasley signing. 15.5 sacks in 2016, had a monster year that year. Really, ever since then, has been the definition of an average player. And sometimes you hear people in Atlanta talk about him, sometimes even below that, below average.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier in the show, and Joe alluded to it as well, that in 2016 he had a fantastic season. 15.5 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, seemed to be a force to be reckoned with. But since then, I believe he has 18 combined sacks in the past 3 seasons after having 15.5 in 2016. So, and I think he only has maybe 2 or 3 forced fumbles over that span as well. So clearly not the player he was in 2016. But as I talked about earlier, and of course I note that I'm not an expert on Vic Beasley, it does not hurt to take a chance. If it doesn't work, you didn't invest a lot of money, at least in NFL terms, on his contract, and you can cut bait and try again. You can also either draft somebody or sign somebody else and mitigate Vic Beasley in the sense that he's not your every down pass rusher. You could have him as someone who rotates in and out, which may be a better role for him. But on the surface, is it the most exciting move that the Tennessee Titans could have made in free agency when you look at everything else that's happened around the league? No, but it is what it is.
What do we make of the way that free agency in this week has gone for John Robinson and the Titans so far? You signed Ryan Tannehill to a long-term deal. Obviously, that needed to happen. That needed to get done. Bring in Vic Beasley. I think most people would agree, probably an underwhelming signing for the Titans, certainly with the potential being there, but just based on the evidence of the last 3 years, I would be surprised if he comes in and has a gigantic impact for this team. Not saying it can't happen. I would just be surprised by it. Derrick Henry gets placed under the franchise tag. You lose out on Jack Conklin. What do we make of the week that John Robinson and the Titans have had here so far in free agency?
I think they did what they needed to do. They re-signed Ryan Tannehill, and they tagged Derrick Henry. So you bring back the two players who contributed the most to the Titans' success in the second half of the season and into the postseason, particularly Derrick Henry in the two playoff wins. I talked about how there are risks associated with both contracts, but they had to do it. You know, Dennis Kelly re-signing him with the loss of Jack Conklin. I think it is important to bring back Dennis Kelly, as we also addressed previously in the show. Just like we talked about with Vic Beasley, perhaps you draft somebody, perhaps you sign somebody else so that Dennis Kelly is not your every down tackle. A sensible move considering the circumstances. Jack Conklin leaving, it was going to happen. You know, he had a great year last year. He was injury-prone before that, so the Titans made the right move and not picking up his option before last season. I didn't expect the Titans to do anything sexy in free agency, especially on par with some of the moves we've seen around their own division, whether it's the Texans trading DeAndre Hopkins or the Colts signing Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, of course. A lot has happened around the league. You know, the Jaguars trading Calais Campbell. There's a lot that's happened in the AFC South.
Yeah.
The Titans, I still feel like, despite all of those changes, I think are still the favorite to win the AFC South, in my personal opinion, in my non-expert opinion. I think everything that the Titans did this week is everything that we expected them to do this week, or expected to happen to them this week, when you talk about the departure of Jack Conklin.
I agree to a certain extent. I think personnel-wise, you're right. I still think Derrick Henry needs a longer-term deal here. And I get it. It's the running back position. In today's NFL, it's just a different conversation now when you're talking about running backs around the league. There have been examples where it just hasn't worked out. I mean, David Johnson, who Houston, for some inexplicable reason, just traded for, which I still, 2 days later, cannot process and cannot figure out what in the world Bill O'Brien is doing down there with the Texans. But that's great news for the Titans that he continues to dig themselves and that franchise into deeper and deeper holes with some of the personnel decisions that he's been in charge of making. But I look and I think Derrick Henry, and you just isolate the situation of him, his impact on this team here in Nashville with the Titans, the role he plays here, the identity with which this offense plays, I think I would be willing to take on that risk, to give him a longer-term deal. I wouldn't feel bad about giving him a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal, and taking him up until he's 30. He's been durable. He's been a guy that's been available to you in the last season, plus 4 games of the season before. He has been the best running back in the NFL. I mean, the numbers bear that out. I get it. There are some concerns there. He's not an every down back. He's not playing on third down when it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. And that's something that the Titans are going to use in terms, and probably already have used in terms of negotiations with Derrick Henry. But I still think if you're John Robinson, you need to get a longer term deal done with Derrick Henry at some point. They have until July 15th to do that. Now that they've placed the franchise tag on him, that needs to be happening, I think, sometime in the near future for John Robinson and the Titans.
Pro Football Focus, who has been rating all of the moves in free agency and trades, gave the Titans' decision to tag Derrick Henry a below average grade. And this is what they said. The reason this deal doesn't fall under poor is that the tag only ties the Titans to Henry for one season. But still, Tennessee would have been better off letting him walk and having another team foot the bill.
I think that's ridiculous.
I agree with that. I agree that they should have. I agree that the idea of him just not coming back would have been short-sighted. They continue. We've seen lucrative long-term deals go poorly with plenty of running backs recently, including Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, and Todd Gurley. Though Henry has been one of the better runners in the NFL over the last 2 seasons, he is not an exception to the rule. Considering that he adds next to nothing in the passing game, it's hard to get behind paying Henry 8 figures per year. But the Titans' hands were sort of tied. I agree with you, Robbie. I think it would have been silly of the Titans not to bring back Henry in some capacity. But I agree with Pro Football Focus in the sense that I would be incredibly wary of committing a lot of money to Derrick Henry because it can go south fast, and you don't want to be committed to a running back for long and have a lot of money tied up in a running back when the uncertainty of the position is incredibly high.
I mean, yeah, it could go south fast. I mean, it can go south fast with Ryan Tannehill, too.
Yes.
I mean, he's got plenty
of
injury concerns.
And I spoke of the risk of signing Tannehill.
In his history as well, Henry is a guy that doesn't have it. Look, the part of that argument that makes the most sense to me is, you know, the third down part of it, the passing game part of it.
Yeah.
Because in today's, like, Zeke Elliott makes a lot of money. He's a big part of what Dallas does in the passing game, too. Now, he's not as big of a part as, you know, Kamara and Christian McCaffrey and all these different guys. But that is certainly a knock against Derrick Henry receiving a long-term deal. But I think just because it hasn't worked out in other situations, you have to analyze and take every situation and treat it as its own entity. And I think based on what the Titans do and the way they play the game and basically how Derrick Henry became the best player in the playoffs, not named Patrick Mahomes this past season, I think you got to give him a long-term deal. Now, whether or not John Robinson thinks that way, I don't know. A lot of Titans fans have just assumed that because they've placed the franchise tag on Derrick Henry, they're just going to continue negotiating and at some point are going to come to a long-term agreement. I don't know. I don't know that to be the case. Maybe John Robinson views it in a similar way that you're talking about, Adam, and says, you know what, it's a running back. We like Derrick Henry. We like what he brings to our team, but we just don't want to commit to him long-term. And certainly that's a possibility. I think we just don't know the answer to that yet.
Yeah, and I think one thing the Titans do need to look at, whether it's through the draft or probably through free agency, especially with the departure of Deion Lewis, is finding a relatively cheap running back who can catch passes out of the backfield and be that third down guy. I'm not sure who's out there. Perhaps you know better than me. But I think someone in that vein, someone who can do what Deion Lewis did but for significantly less money.
Significantly less money and significantly better, and
yes,
hopefully not block everybody in Nashville on Twitter along
with it. I was not blocked, by the way, by Deion Lewis. I went to look.
You escaped. You did not get the wrath of Deion Lewis. When we come back, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN will join us. We'll talk about some things we were talking about earlier in the show when it comes to the NHL and maybe some potential playoff formats if they're able to resume action this season. That's next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.